God bless you and welcome to Fellowship. John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill and destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more and abundantly." So the enemy's got a plan and he's got a purpose, and it's to steal, kill and destroy. And he works through the systems of the world. And he wants to get your faith down. And he does it through the systems of the world, through what you read, hear, see on the media, through negative talk with unbelievers. And it's designed to pull you down. Okay, but Jesus Christ said, "I am come that they," he's referring to believers, "that they might have life and have it more and abundantly." See, God's heart and what he's provided for is an abundant life. Okay, now the adversary challenges that with lack, with sickness, with worries, with fears, with doubts. And if you want to keep your faith high, there's things that you can do. And I want to go to the Word and have a look at these. In Hebrews 11:1 it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So basically, if you want to do the impossible, you've got to see the invisible. You've got to see the thing on the inside of you that it's done, what you're believing for, and what God's put in your heart by the Word of God, what the picture that God is painting in your heart, what he wants for your life, the vision that he's given you. Because we know that without a vision, people wander aimlessly. And we know that vision is the Word of God, what God has painted. And God's heart is for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, we've been given the Word and ministry of reconciliation. And the adversary wants to discourage you. He doesn't want you speaking the Word. He doesn't want your faith to be red hot. He doesn't want you to look to God and as your main source of supply. He doesn't want you to go to God, okay? So he puts all these challenges, all this hustle and bustle in your day, all these things to disturb you and to rob you of your faith. In fact, the adversary requested to God that he could sift Peter as wheat. Remember Jesus Christ said to Peter that the adversary requested to sift you as wheat. What was he sifting? His mind, his belief system. He's after your belief system. And this is why if you really want to manifest this more than abundant life, which is yours, see, we manifest the things. It's like when people receive Holy Spirit, not everyone manifests the speaking in tongues. Okay, unless they're led into it or you know, there's something stopping, or they may not know about it. They may believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, but no one's taught them that they can speak in tongues. Okay, and it's not until they're instructed, look, you can speak in tongues. And you begin, you do, and the Spirit of God is energized in you to do it. See? So it takes instruction, it takes a knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, of what we have, what we receive when we become born again. And God doesn't want you in the dark. It also says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Now, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he hears, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Diligently seek him in many ways. You can diligently seek him in your prayer life. You can diligently seek him from his word and what his direction is to you. You can diligently seek him with fellowship with other people and God working in other people to inspire you. Okay, so there's things that you can do to keep your faith red hot. And the first key is to get into relationship with God. You know, to really let him be the source of all of your supply. Okay, not the things in the world. That's not your source of supply. It may be an avenue of supply to you, but the source of everything is God. He's the source of the supply. And I think what we need to grab hold of here, that God is the source of supply. Like, God set it up like this, in giving and receiving. He said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest." Okay, so there's a time to sow the seed, and there's a time to harvest. There's a time to give, and there's a time to receive. That is how God works, okay? And we have to get into that, into God's pattern of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. How does God operate? And we want to operate the way God operates, his principles in the Word. And that's why he's given us his Word, so that we can see it and we can apply it. And it takes faith. You can't see the things, okay? Like when you're taught about giving, you think, well, I can't do that because I haven't got the resources or I've got very little. But it's a principle of faith. You're taking, when you give, it's an act, it's a step of faith. You're saying, okay, well, I can't see nothing in front of me, but I believe in God. I trust you. I know your word is more surer than what I've got in my hand or the ground I'm standing on. So You have to train yourself. You have to get this word soaked into you. And you act upon this word. You believe it. Do whatever it takes to keep your faith hot. If you need to fellowship daily, fellowship daily. If you need to fellowship every other, whatever it takes. If you need to read your word 6 or 7 times a day, then read your word 6 or 7 times a day. If you need to speak in tongues all the time, speak in tongues all the time. But there has to be a point of acting upon the things that you've learned. And that is where the power comes into play. Because you're saying, okay, God, I believe you above what I've learned in the senses realm. What I've learned through what I hear, see, smell, taste and touch. I believe your word bigger than that. Because your word says that you're not a man that you should lie. In fact, the word doesn't just say, it says it's impossible for you to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So every time we don't believe his promises to us, we're calling God a liar indirectly. And so that's why we have to get this word in our hearts to the point that we believe it. You know, to the point that we're going to act upon it and it's going to produce results. God wants you to be productive. And you can't be productive in your own strength, but you can be productive as you're led by that Spirit of God. And let him lead you. Let him do the work. And we know this because we got the Word of God that shows this to us and indicates this to us. Then the key is now practice these things. Okay, to get into relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we need to do. Get into relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wrote down here, the day you stop seeing your future is the day you've stopped living. You've got to have a future. There's got to be some goals for you. Ask God, what's my future? What's your plan and vision for me? Because if you've got nothing to look forward to, how can you aim towards it? And God is the one that will give you that vision, that direction. He puts the desires in your heart. He inspires faith within you. And then your expectation you need to put on God. That you know that in the senses realm, you can't make these things happen. But you're trusting God that he's going to make the things happen. So God wants you to keep your faith hot. That's your job. Right, you got the faith of Jesus Christ. It's shed abroad in your heart by the Spirit of God. But you keep it hot. You practice those truths. And so the Word of God will work for you like it works for me when I'm believing it. There's no respecter of persons. But faith is the thing. Faith is the conditions of everything that we do. And that's what the adversary's after. He wants to bring your faith down through your circumstances, through your situation, through the things that are going on. He wants to discourage you. Discouragement is a trick of the devil. It's a big trick, and it causes you to stumble. But God is able to lift you up. God is able to make what might take you 10 years to happen, he can make happen in 1 week, in 1 day, because nothing's impossible for God. Where there's no doors open for you to now, when you step into faith, God can open many mighty doors. Mm. When you've got lack and you step into faith, God can open many mighty doors. See, and in the category of giving, it's not a debt that you owe, but it's a seed that you sow. See? We've been taught that, well, you owe that. You owe that to God. No, it's not a debt that you owe, but it's a seed that you sow. God set up seed time and harvest, giving and receiving. If you're lacking, it's because you're not giving. And then there's another key to that giving, is your expectation to receive what you need from God. And God doesn't just do it in small measures, but he does it bountifully. See, if I was a farmer and I put seed into your hands and you don't sow it, you're not going to get a harvest, right? You're not going to get a return. Because you got the seed in your hand. And for a lot of believers, it's like you give the word of God to them, what they need to do to apply. It's like putting seed in their hand. The word of God is seed. The word of God is seed, right? So you put that seed into their hand, but they hold on to the seed and they don't plant it. They don't let it get into the depths of their heart. And see, before a farmer actually sows any seeds, he has to plough the ground. And see, what we have to do is plough our ground of our heart and get rid of the stony places that stops faith coming through. See, stones in the ground stops the seed from coming up through and it kills it off. And stones in our hearts is like unbelief is like stones in our heart. It stops that seed coming into fruition to produce the fruit that God intended it to. So it's not a debt that you owe when you honour God, but it's a seed that you sow. That's how God set it up, so that your need can be abundantly supplied. And every time you hold on to that seed, okay, financially, then you lack. And every time you hold on to that seed with the word of God, you don't see the things happen. So it's all done by faith. You receive it by faith, you release it by faith. Can you see? You receive the things by faith, you release it by faith. But how do I know this? Because I got the word of God. I ask God for wisdom. Father, show me how this works. And because I want to teach the people. I want your people to be prosperous because that's what you want them to do. And they're not being prosperous. So what's going on? What is wrong? Am I not teaching them properly? Am I not feeding the things that they need? But I know what the problem is. It's because no one's acting on the word. They receive it, but they don't release it. Oh, I've heard that before. That's a great teaching. You've got to release the things that you're... Like, right now, God is working in this. Right now, God is working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's his word's working in me. Okay, so it's his word to you. And God wants you to take this word, his seed. His word is seed. Now he wants you to apply it. Now, if any of you lack wisdom how to apply it, you ask God. And he shows you how to apply it. So if you're failing... If you're not seeing an abundance that is rightfully yours, your inheritance, this is your inheritance. Can you see the adversary is blindsiding you in this area of giving, receiving, and in producing the word of God, the fruit that it should be producing? He's blindsiding you. He's robbing you of your inheritance, which is rightfully yours. Like if you see these films where someone's won an inheritance and you've got the two... You know, crooks that are trying to say it's not his, and they blind them, blindside them, so they can take the money. That's what the devil's doing right now. You either believe it or you don't. You're either going to release the seed that God's sown to you or given to you. God gives seed to the sower and bread for your food. Right now, I'm not just talking in the category of money giving it. I'm talking in the category of the word that's given to you, because that word is seed. Can you see? And when it's planted in your heart, and not where the stony places are, I'm going to do it this way, and I don't really believe what he's saying there, that's a stony place. And that word that's been released to you was not going to grow. That's why it takes humbleness and meekness to receive the word with meekness, retain it with conviction, and release it with boldness. Can you see how it works? So faith, this faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. See, not only is faith coming to you now, you're being inspired. Thoughts are rising up in your heart, right? I know they are. Okay, because why? It's the word of God that's being spoken. So I know your faith is rising. Okay, I know you're being challenged to think great things, beautiful things, positive things, right? And through your own reading of the word, you need to drive yourself to the word. Let God open his word to you. Let God speak to your heart. Okay? And then here, fill your mouth with the things that you need to say, when you need to say it, and to whom you need to say it. But you need to receive this now and say, okay, what am I going to do with what I learn? Okay, or I don't know what to do with what I'm being taught right now. Then you go to God. Father, okay, I'm learning this about giving, receiving, not just finance, but in the word of God. And you want me to keep my faith for, and you want me to have expectation, because if I don't see a future, then I'm already dead. You know, God wants you to continue to grow daily. He's for you, he's with you. It's the adversary that's tricking you out on all these things, and it's because you're not seeing who you are in Christ and what God has truly made available. It's just written on paper to you, because if it wasn't just written on paper, you'll be doing it, you'll be seeing results. Because God has made you productive. You are productive. Because you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are productive. But what activates that productiveness is the faith. Is the acting upon the word. Believing is acting upon the word. And God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when you step out with God on the things, I'm going to do this, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, God's going to meet my needs. I don't know how he's going to meet my needs, but he's going to meet them. Okay, I'm going to apply what I'm learning. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to begin to do it. And Father, you work in me by your Spirit. You lead me. You put the thoughts, the ideas within me. Can you see? So if anything's going to be, it's going to be up to you. God has done everything. He's given you everything in Christ Jesus. He's given you his written word. He's given you his spirit. He's given you ministers. He's given you other people to encourage you. And he can teach you himself by the spirit. But how much do you want that? Right, Father, look, I need the wisdom to move in these things. Okay, I'm just going to begin. I'm just going to start doing these things. So, believing is acting on the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which effectively worketh also in you that believe," that act upon these truths. You receive, I believe that, then you do it. Your works will show anybody if you're believing or not. See, what you do will show me as an overseer if you're believing or not. And then if I see there's no faith or there's no acting upon that, then as God works in me to show and be honest with you, then I share those things. But it's up to you whether you do it. I can't twist your arm and make you do it. God can't twist your arm and make you do it. But the things are laid out for us. This is what you need to do. If you want to see the fruit, if you want to see the greatness of God's word and the power of God activating your life, is through believing. And this word that I'm speaking right now, just like Paul says, you know, he says, we thank God that without ceasing, because when you received the word of God you heard of us, you received it not as the words of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. You have to believe what I'm saying is coming from God. You can see what I'm saying around the scripture, but also the way I'm saying it, you have to receive that. Okay, God's working in this person. Just like when Danny taught, I received that. This is God talking to my heart. As Amy's going to teach in a minute, this is God working in her heart. Okay, by that spirit. Can you see? That's how it is. It's very simple. God didn't make this word of God hard, but we complicate it through wrong thinking, through maybe wrong teaching or wrong ideas. But it's very simple, right? You move with the things. Luke 24, we're not going to read the whole thing, but Luke 24, verses 13 through to 32, we see the two guys on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus Christ expounded the scriptures unto them. And when he was revealed to them, he disappeared out of their sight. But it says our hearts burned within us. Faith that burst through in their hearts and minds. Their hearts were lit up. Their minds were lit up. Their understanding was lit up. Their faith was generated and increased greatly. See, and that's what the word of God does. That's why we need to speak the word. People won't know what is available unless we tell people what's available. People won't know that God can heal unless we show them that God can heal and give them our testimony and give them the records of the word. But we got to believe this thing. See, again, if you're frustrated, it's because you're frustrating the grace of God. God is not frustrating you. The adversary's got you shook up. Through unbelief. It's unbelief that shakes up the things. It's unbelief that gets us to doubt, worry and fear. It's unbelief. In other words, there's some stones around your heart that need to come out, that need to be ploughed up. So when that perfect word of God's put in there, it produces fruit. And see, you go to God and you say, Father, show me what I need to get rid of. Plough my heart. Show the things that need to come out of my heart so I can receive everything that you've given me so I can have fruit unto your glory. See? Because God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to grow. And God wants you to know these things. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Psalms 138 says, "The word of God runneth swiftly," I think it is, or somewhere along there. Right? The word of God runs swiftly, very swiftly. So the word of God is quick, powerful and sharp, and it runs very swiftly. It doesn't hang about. When we believe, we should be seeing things almost immediately because we're believing it. But why don't we see it? Oh, it must be my minister. Or it must be who I'm hanging around with. Or it must be my circumstances right now. I'm just getting a bit tough at the moment. We're the ones that are stopping it. Really, the adversary's creating the the illusion of doubt, and we're sucking it up. But faith says, no, we got to be red hot in our faith. We don't take no for an answer. In fact, faith says, when the devil wants you to stop, you keep going. When there's an obstacle in your way, you keep going. You just move, go for it. Okay, and don't let the feelings, the emotions, that's one of the way the adversary works. One of his fronts, he works for your old man nature by way of emotions. Oh, it never happens for me. He's always getting blessed. She's always getting... Everything goes all right for them. It's all right for them. They always get their way. See, that's not faith. That's fear. That's unbelief. That's worry, fears and doubts. You don't look at anyone else, but you look to God. And then you go to someone that can give you the word that's going to activate your faith to move with God, not to just bless you for 5 minutes. See, we come to fellowship, and hands up, do we all get blessed? I know I get very blessed. But how long does that last? And it can last you until the next fellowship, right? Because it's daily fellowship with God. We fellowship daily with Father. We keep these truths in our hearts. That's why we shouldn't be up and down like a heart monitor. But we are at times. But God never designed it for that. We can walk like this up. Okay, but we got to keep the focus. We got to keep the vision. Okay, we want to see the impossible, so you got to see the invisible. You got to see these things take place in front of you. You see yourself prosperous. You see yourself witnessing to the multitudes. You see yourself raising the dead, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out devils, because you've received free and God wants you to freely give. You have to see it here. Then God, he puts the thoughts there for you through his word. He inspires the thoughts. And that's what you move with. Okay. So your actions prove your faith or your lack of it. Seriously, your attitude will prove your faith or your lack of it. How you respond to what's being said to you will prove your faith or your lack of it. Okay, so example, I'll give you an example now, right? So I've shared this one many times, but I'll share it again. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now these guys were mourning. They was mourning for a long period of time. And God says, look, he's dead now. This time of mourning is over. Are you still mourning your loss? Are you still mourning your lack? Are you still mourning your lack of laborers or your increase in your fellowship? Or nothing seems to be... Are you mourning those things? Or are you rising above them? See, God wants you to come up. He's the one that wants you to come up through the levels. The adversary wants you to stay where you are and go down. God wants you to move continuously. You know, like up all the time. Not up and down like a heartbeat. But he wants you to continue to move. Smoothness. In his jet stream. In his, you know, in his flow. By the Spirit. Okay, but God had to give them a little shaking. He says, so he said, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go. Guys, you've got to arise and go. You've got to start moving. Seriously, in your own individual lives first, it's where it starts at home. Okay, you look to God, you believe God. Father, I'm not blessed with my situation. I know you haven't called me to hard labor, right? No, you get me out of this. I'm looking to you. My expectations on you, not on me. You're the one that is my sufficiency. You're the one that is my source of supply. Don't look at any man or woman for your source of supply. If you do that, the flow stops. I know because I've done that. Right? You don't want to look at anyone. You look at God for the source of supply. You tell him what your needs are and then you expect it to happen because God wants you to have it. He's working it in you. And you don't know how it's going to come to you, but I'm telling you, if you just stay in faith, you stay confessing, you stay believing, God will provide for you. And I got many testimonies to prove that. I got many testimonies, many testimonies. And I know you guys also do have that. But why just do it for a one-off? Well, God done it then. No, he can do it every time he wants to. He's a God that sees in order to provide for you. Yeah? He's your sufficiency. He loves you so much, and you just got to believe that, and you just got to act upon that, and you just got to take the word of God literally, take it literally, more than the words I'm saying now. And it says, And it says, "Now therefore, rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." Now, if you think leadership is easy, it's not. And if you think that Joshua, this is his first role of leading, really. And he was taking on Moses' complaining lot, right? And he had to take this whole responsibility on. If you want to lead, you're going to have challenges. Everyone wants to get to the top because they think it's easy, but it's not. You've got to work your way there. Okay, God can get you up there. But the point is, you've got to stay there. And you will have challenges. But it's how you respond to them. It's how you deal with those things. And it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." God is a God of encouragement. He's encouraging Joshua. "From the wilderness and this Lebanon meeting unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." All these promises are here, are ours anyway. They're, you see, and addressed to us. So we can move forward. You're ready to move. You're ready to go. Okay, and I'm just giving you some keys here to help you keep your faith on, so you can see it all the way through to the point of receiving. God wants you to receive. You're not receiving 100%. And God wants you to receive. That's the truth. Okay, and it says, "Be strong." So you've got to be strong. You have to decide, "I am going to be strong. I am not going to back down on any pressures that come my way. I may have challenges, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Nay, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror." Okay? "And of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou defy for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them." And then God says, "Only be thou strong." Very courageous. You've got to be courageous. In other words, to have courage, that means there's things coming against you, right? Yeah? Else there's no courage, isn't there? If you haven't got no adversity there. Be very courageous, be bold, be strong. And when you've got a challenge in front of you, you step up to the plate. Okay, because they're not facing you, they're facing God. They may be looking at you, but they don't realise that God is in your corner. God has got your back and side and front. "Be strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do." That's your part. Just God was saying, "Look, I'm going to do this, but this is your part. You observe to do." And you do the same. Observe what God is saying to you. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying by other people that are teaching the Word. Take it on board. Run with it. Meditate on it. Ask God to help you to remember the things that you need to remember. Make a clear decision that you're going to remember it. And then work it and just do it. It's really simple. "The servants who, according to the law, with Moses my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." Well, when things get a little bit softer, that's when we can then be tempted to turn to the right or to the left. "That thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest." See, when we get to that point that the pressures are on, we've gone so far, we've done really well, then the pressures come on, then what do? We defer. Right, but when the pressure's on, just remember, there's a breakthrough there. That's why the test is there. When you get a pressure coming on you, because there's something massive on that God's going to bless you, and the adversary doesn't want you to receive it. Can you see? So you're moving along really wonderfully, and then all of a sudden, the adversary knows that God's got a blessing up for you. He's going to really change your whole life and those around you. So he's going to put the pressure on. He wants to divert you. Just like those little crooks that want to divert someone from their inheritance so they can take it. He wants to rip your inheritance off. And he does that by stealing, killing, destroying, by lying. He starts off with the lie. If you believe the lie, then he can still kill and destroy. But you've got to stand on these promises. You've got to stand firm. And you may bend, but you won't break, see? Because we're rooted and grounded in what God says to us. We understand this word. And it says, "That thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. The book of this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do it." God wants you to remember it, meditate upon it, remember it. Then do it according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You're reading the word, just like you would read a deed for a house and what the contract is. You're making sure that everything is able for you to do. And if you sign that document without realising there's some clauses there, you're going to get ripped off. But once you've read the document, okay, this is what I, this is my part, this is what I need to do, this is what I'm agreeing to. Okay, now I got the clear picture of now I'm going to go for it. See, but we don't get the whole picture at times. God wants us to know what he says to us. And it says, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. When you start to really see the heart of what God wants you to do, why you're born again, why he's called you, why you're filled with his spirit, why he's given you the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, the spirit of God. When you start to ask God, why have I got all these things? What am I, how am I supposed to apply this in daily living? When you go to God and ask him for wisdom, he will start to show you. He will start to reveal it to you because you're saying to God, I desire, I want this. I want this life that you've got for me more than anything this world has to offer. Because the, what this world has to offer is nothing in comparison to the blessings of God now and throughout eternity. And then shalt thou have good success. God wants you to be successful. He wants me to be successful. Look, as the leader of the fellowship here, by the grace of God, if you're being successful, then I'm going to be successful, right? And if you're being successful, if I'm being successful, you're going to be successful. See, God wants... So it's in my interest to help you as much to get what God has, wants you to have. That's my job, to feed you the things, yeah, as an overseer, so that you see it and do it, so that you can receive what I'm saying, this is what you can have, to prove God, right? So it's in my interest to see you prosper. Like, and I know that your heart is to prosper, everyone in here, because you want to be in a position to be a blessing. Not just to bless yourself, but to be a blessing, to furtherance the word of God here as well, and to support it. Okay? I know that's your heart. But there's certain things you need to do to receive that. That, you know, yeah, we're saved by grace, but there's certain things that you can apply, like giving for a start, with a real heart, without begrudging, like really unto God, not looking at me, not looking at anyone else, but unto God. That's where we need to look. Okay, and that God set it up at the beginning. Sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, not just finance, but the word of God as well, because the word of God is seed. Everything's seed. And that's the principle. God has set the things up for us to use and apply. But we're not using them, guys. Like, I'm just encouraging you. Like, start to use these things. It's your benefit. That's why you're not seeing the breakthroughs you want to see and you desire. That's why you're not understanding. Well, I'm not seeing it. I don't understand it. I'm doing this. But have you seen it all the way through? Have you read the agreement properly? Have you really seen what's yours? And then it says in Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee again? Be strong and of a good courage. Look, don't get deflated. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you. Wherever, look, God is with you. See, we're all on the same team here, and I'm not. We're all the same. There's no one better than anyone else. So we need to get, you know, get yourself with God. And see, when you get yourself with God in that flow of fellowship, you want to be with the other believers to keep that encouragement going, not just for yourself, but when you're giving to me, you're receiving, see? And when I'm giving to you, I'm receiving. But there's not a lot of that goes on, apart from once a week every fellowship. There's not really a lot. Can you see what I'm saying? Like, really look at what you're doing, look at your priorities in your life. I'm not saying you're doing it wrong, but I'm just pointing these things out. But just look at what you're really doing. Who you're really hanging out with. Who's benefiting you? Who's benefiting you? See? And if you're not benefiting from what's being taught, are you doing it? That's why you're not benefiting if you're not. Right? So it's really simple. It's on you. Everything's on you because God's made it all available. And then it's up to gift ministers to encourage. To encourage the people, or anyone that's leading the fellowship, you encourage the people. This is what God wants for you, and it's up to them. You encourage them to believe and to show them who they are in Christ and what they've received if they don't know. And then, you know, when you're out in the street, you know, you go home, you think, man, I'm seated at the right hand side of God in Christ. I'm loved. My God will never leave me or forsake me. Anyway, so faith rises through praying. Okay, and I just want to go, there's a couple more scriptures, and I'm finished. And it's Jude. Go to the book of Jude. Just before 1 John. Jude chapter 1. And in verse 20 it says, but you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Okay, so he's saying, look, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, speaking in tongues. You build yourself up on your most holy faith by speaking in tongues much. I've been saying this in my last three teachings. Speaking in tongues is imperative. That's perfect prayer, perfect praise, it's intercession. It covers so many different things, right? You need to go to the Bible to find out what it covers. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the things I understand. Well, you go and find out. How much do you want it? How much do you really want what speaking in tongues is? How much do you want to understand what it does for you? And go and find the Word. Go to the Word. Get a concordance. Go and have a look. And verse 21, it says, keep. And this word keep is the Greek word tereo, which is like to keep like a treasure. Okay? Yourself. Keep yourself like a treasure in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. And if you're keeping yourself in that love of God, your faith is going to be hot. It's going to be red hot, because love energizes faith. Can you see? And faith is action upon the Word. So these elements go together lovely. Isaiah 65:24 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, God says, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Wow, what a promise there. Look at that. And it shall come to pass, Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Before they call, before you even ask. Can you see God's willingness to bless you, to give you the desires of your heart, to increase you, to take care of you? I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Jeremiah 33:3. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is for you, but there's things you have to do. If you've got stony places in your heart of unbelief, that is going to cool down your faith, right? So you ask God to do the plowing in your heart. Look at yourself. You know where you're not believing, guys. You know it. You really do know it in yourself. And now you ask God to help you. Father, take this stony heart, these little stones of unbelief away, so that I can receive your full seed for it to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful for you. I want to bring glory to you. I want to win souls for the kingdom. I want to plunder hell and populate heaven. That's what I want to do. So these are the things I really want you to encourage. In the era of giving and receiving, God has given you, it's not a debt that you owe, but it's a seed that you sow. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to sow what he's blessed you with. He's initially giving you the seed. He said, here you go, Becky. There's seed. And you just stand around with it in your hand. Oh, this is great. Don't sow it. I'm not picking on you, just an example. Right? And then you don't sow it, and then you think, well, where's my blessing? Everybody else is getting blessed, but where's my blessing? But everyone else sowed. See, so God's giving you the seed, not just the financial ones, but the spiritual ones. His word, which is seed also. So, thank you very much. God bless you.